Please stand for salute to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Board of Supervisors, in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, has provided the date, time, and location of this meeting to at least two designated newspapers and publish the same in the Edinburgh Park Press, the official newspaper, filed it with the Borough Clerk, posted notice on the bulletin board, in the Borough offices and on the Borough website. Good evening, everybody, and welcome.
Roll call, Mr. Cradaville. Chairman Cunningham.
Here.
Mr. Julio, here. Vice Chairman Casale.
Here.
Mr. Duffy.
Here.
Councilman Weinstein.
Here.
Mayor Long. Ms. Abson. Mr. Donovan.
Here.
Mr. Smith.
Here.
Mr. McGinley. Ms. Abson. Ms. Bills.
Here.
Ms. Wright.
Here.
On to the March 26th minutes. Any discussion or motion?
I think a motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Can we have a roll call, please?
All righty. Mr. Julio?
Yes.
Mr. Duffy?
Yes.
Mr. Don?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Bills?
Yes.
And Ms. Wright?
Yes.
Motion carries. On to memorialization of the resolution for Alice Marie Gaffney, 216 Ocean Avenue.
It was a little bit late getting to you today.
Everybody have time to see the review and review it?
Mm-hmm. I'll make a motion to approve that.
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Julio?
Yes.
Mr. Stay?
Yes.
Mr. Duff?
Yes.
Mr. Knott?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Bills?
Yes.
Ms. Wright?
Yes.
Memorialization of the resolution for James Lobiondo, 3 Osborne Place.
I'll move the resolution.
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Julio?
Yes.
Mr. Duffy?
Yes.
Councilman Weinstein?
Yes.
Mr. Knott?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Bills?
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Why don't we go right to this while it's more fresh?
All right, so Mr. Chairman, essentially what this is, the council had adopted an ordinance a few years back to allow temporary uses for seasonal parking. So essentially, it allowed vehicles to park on private property from Memorial Day through Labor Day of each year, provided they met certain criteria, which was established by the zoning officer. What this ordinance does is we are changing the permit fee to $500. I think it used to be $250. It's now $500.
It used to be $300.
It used to be $300. Okay, thank you. So it went from $300 to $500. We also put in some penalty clauses which were lacking in the original version of the ordinance. So now if you commit a violation of any sort in the town can now revoke the permit which has been issued, and you'll be denied a permit for the following year. Plus, there also is a number 7. We increase the amount of the fine for every violation that's occurring. And Carrie, I don't remember what the original...
There was none.
There was none, okay. So it's being increased from just the standard underneath the code, and I forget what the maximum allowable fine is, to the absolute maximum allowable fine of $1,250. So it took away any choice from the judge when they're doing it, that it automatically, it does say a fine no less than, right, so that it has to be fined with $1,250 now. Whereas before it was up to the judge.
There's no discretion.
There's no discretion, thank you, that was the word I was looking
for. Now, when you say a violation for parking without the permit?
Well,
operating the lot without a permit.
Right. Operating the lot without a permit or any other sort of violation that might occur along the way.
Not necessarily the property violation.
Correct. It wouldn't necessarily be, well, it would be a property violation also, yeah. But if you committed on the property, you committed some other sort of violation, it would be a fine of $1,250.
So those would be the only changes?
Those are the only changes.
Okay.
Is that, it's number four, six, and seven changed?
Well, actually, yeah, like, there was very little in the original one, and the original did not have, well, it did say one, but let's see. It really didn't have that the permit, doesn't have, you know, three is new, four is new, five is new, right, six and seven, so, yeah.
I mean, there's nothing in here that changed, it has to come here because it's part of the zoning ordinance.
Right, but it's...
But there's certainly nothing here that's a violation of the master plan.
No, it makes sense, but to me, they're all good improvements, and I would make a motion that we write a letter back to the governing body that we approve of their changes.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Moving on. Okay, on to the new application. I think we did everything. Covered all business. On to River Street Realty. Four River Street, lot 15, and lot 4. Let the record show that Mr. Knott is stepping off the board as he's within 200 feet.
Mr. Chairman, I have reviewed the notices and the publications. Upon taking the order, I marked the entire jurisdictional packet as A1. I have marked as A2, the preliminary and final plat major subdivision for lot 4, lot 15, prepared by the Cannon Group PC, dated 12/7/18. And I've marked as A3, the March 20, 2019 letter from the board engineer, David Hogan. That's all I have.
Do you want to rule complete this?
Yeah, so we don't necessarily have, Mr. Hogan doesn't necessarily review for completeness, it's usually done. The applicant has requested waivers.
Can we go over that?
Yeah, the applicant has requested certain waivers, and it is for...
There in my letter.
Yep.
Very small one there. It's in C.
There we go. Environmental impact statement, the boundary wooded areas within 200 feet, existing utilities within 200 feet, existing structures within 200 feet, on-site drainage plan, off-site drainage plan, center line profiles on adjacent streets, exterior lighting plan, landscaping, and screening plan. And maybe Mr. Hoda can speak to the waivers, because we do have the plot plan review that we passed a few years ago that requires every lot to submit a grading plan based upon the exact size that has to be built, etc. So, maybe Mr. Hoda can speak as to the waivers and recommendations.
Sure. When I reviewed the application, well, I didn't do completeness, I looked at the waivers, which are usually part of that. But I don't really have a problem with all of the requests for waivers except for one. The only one that I think the applicant should do is an environmental impact statement.
Agreed.
Yeah, the rest of them, from wooded lots and drainage and all that, anything that's in that, in lighting, landscaping, all that's going to come up in the plot plan review. We're going to look at the grading, somebody's going to, either myself or Rock Kings, look at the grading, or we're going to, you know, we're going to try to figure out what's going on with the utilities, and all that stuff's going to come out, and we'll have that information. It'll be reviewed, it'll be looked at. The reason I want to, I'm asking the applicant for an environmental impact statement is that this property's been left alone for a long time, we don't know exactly what's there in the building. We don't know what's under the pavement. We don't know how it's going to impact the neighborhood. This is probably one of the larger applications that's going to come from the board, that has come from the board so far, than maybe others, in that general area, River Street, South Street. And I just think that we should know, based on some of the ordinance requirements under the environmental impact, what's going to happen in the future, and what kind of impact this will have on the neighborhood.
Dave, this board has had a lot of concern from our residents about the flooding issues, mm-hmm. the environmental issues in the downtown area.
Sure.
And I felt strongly the same as you do,
okay.
Because I think we need to see that before we can really vote on
an application of this magnitude. But I'm happy to hear it tonight, listen to it, and once we get a study, I'd be happy to go forward after that. Anybody else?
I agree, Mr. Chairman, absolutely. I think we need the environmental impact statement.
So the desire then of the board is that to hear the application, to hold in abeyance any vote until you receive the environmental impact statement, is that?
That would be my suggestion.
Good evening, John Anderson of Fall Sandville Bone Mill, on behalf of the applicant, River Street Realty LLC. We've heard the chair's concerns, councilman's concerns, as well as Mr. Hoover's concerns. We did request the formal waiver of the BIS in our initial submission, and my understanding from the exhibits marked as A3 was that the board engineer had previously opined that the application could proceed without any IS, and he thought that perhaps a condition of approval might be the submission of a phase one, with which he would readily comply. I like the idea of proceeding this evening. I think we can sort of rather quickly with one witness address a lot of the topics that would typically be included in the IS. This is a essentially fully developed property consisting of a 4.5-story or 3.5-story brick structure on an asphalt lot. We are proposing an 8-lot fully conforming subdivision, what would be colloquially referred to as an of-right or by-right subdivision. If you read the treatise by Cox or the Pizzo-Montan case, what I would ask of the board is essentially hear us tonight, listen to our proofs, and reserve judgment as to whether you think you're going to need an EIS or not. And perhaps the testimony will satisfy any of the concerns that you might have. And I would also tell you that we are not proposing any buildings, just building envelopes, fully conforming building envelopes. And again, any residential development of the lots will be the subject of a plot plan review, as Mr. Hoover observed. So many of these things would also be addressed. It's also subject to jurisdiction of various local officials in terms of a demo of the building, as well as potentially DEP.
You are going from 1 to 8, correct?
1 lot to 8 lots.
Okay.
But I should say, while we showed structures, they were sort of for illustrative or demonstrative purposes. So you're not being asked to review or approve any particular structure on any of these lots. Just fully conforming, residential lots in a residential room. So, with that, I just give a little color. I have the one witness who marked some exhibits to try to move things along. And if that works for everybody, see what you hear, see if you like it, and we'll make a decision at the end of it.
Thank you.
This is a 16,000 square foot lot. As we've noted, it's block 15, lot 4. It's owned by Riverside Realty. I just want to make sure that there's no conflicts with either Riverside Realty LLC or the principal, Aldo Frustacci.
And is he the sole principal? The sole member of the LLC?
Correct.
Okay. Any members of the board have any conflicts with River Street Realty LLC or Mr. Frustacci?
You're also hearing this application in sort of a novel circumstance where a lot has been declared part of an area in need of redevelopment within the borough of Seabright, and so that there's been a variety of steps taken by Seabright to solicit proposals from the general public for development of my client's site and surrounding sites, and has even received a proposal for development which would entail the creation of a hotel, 50 plus rooms, 5 stories, with 3 stories of parking, by somebody who is not before the board this evening, somebody who is not
believe we've had anything come before this board.
So this is an RFP process that's been ongoing. The reason I preview it for the board is that there is a proposed developer with a plan to develop my client's lot. So I thought it would be important just to put the name of that developer on the record and make sure there's no conflict with any of the board members as to that developer either.
No problem.
My understanding is that the...
Oh, no, conflict?
Well, he doesn't...
We have to...
I believe it's called The Break at Seabright LLC, and from reading the proposal that was submitted in response to the RFP, I think some of the principles might include a fuller trip brook. Do these names sounding familiar or creating a conflict? No employment relationship with...
Just can you give me the name? It's very difficult to hear in here because of the echoes, so everybody that speaks needs to speak up.
One, I'm going to give you the two names I just gave you, but there may be a couple other entities involved, so I just want to give a complete list so that we don't miss anybody. I'm looking at page two of a proposal for redevelopment of downtown properties. It says The Break at Seabright. And it is... page four, sorry. The Break at Seabright LLC, which is comprised of Seabright Ocean Avenue Partners LLC, Onward Venture Properties LLC, Sarah Church.
If you think I can write all this down that fast, you just Sarah.
Okay, let's see again. And Trip Brooks as the manager.
Are you introducing that document?
No, I'm just using...
Okay, Seabright Ocean Avenue, what's the first one?
The first one is The Break.
I got that. Seabright Ocean Avenue Partners.
Seabright Ocean Avenue Partners LLC.
Are these all proposals that went to somebody?
This is one proposal.
Okay.
It's...
You need to explain it so this board understands what we're...
Can you just submit that?
I certainly can.
So apparently, an RFP was put out by the municipality for the redeveloper, and The Break at Seabright LLC was a submitter for that, as to be the redeveloper, the redevelopment entity, apparently. And this Break at Seabright LLC is comprised of Seabright Ocean Avenue Partners LLC. Who else?
Onward Venture Properties LLC.
Onward Venture Properties LLC.
Sarah Church.
Sarah, oops. Do you know who Sarah Church is?
No, it was funny to have a church in there.
Oh, right, it is a church. Okay.
And Trip Brooks.
Brooks. Okay.
So the intention, I'll give a little background. This is an entity that's proposing to acquire my client's site through municipal action, perhaps a combination, and develop my client's site. So it's essentially a competing proposal, not before you this evening,
correct,
but one which has been submitted to the borough in response to a request for proposals to develop the project.
Has your proposal been submitted to other areas of the borough?
This is not our proposal. This is somebody unrelated to us who wants to acquire our property,
so
do something different.
So what you're here for tonight is, I want this clear for the board members to understand that what you're here for tonight is not a proposal in that area of redevelopment.
No, this property is in that area.
No, I know, but he's not making a proposal. He's looking for an approval.
He is not making a proposal under the redevelopment process.
Okay.
He is proposing...
So let me
make that clear.
So I'm going to take a step back. We are looking for a subdivision approval for a lot that we currently own. There is another entity out there that has designs on acquiring our lot and utilizing a redevelopment plan that's not yet adopted to develop our lot. So I thought it was important to make sure that none of you all had a conflict in that you had a financial or other relationship with an entity that's looking to acquire our lot and develop it. Because it could have a bearing on how you decide our application.
Everybody is good with all the names that they just said, no conflicts. Okay, proceed with your application.
Is there an implied acquisition mode?
Is there a what data?
We were saying that the other entity has an intent, I mean, I'm using that word, to acquire your property.
Correct.
So
through the redevelopment.
That's the question. Okay, so that's okay.
So we have to do that.
They don't get on it, we're not under contract to sell it. My understanding is that they...
The plan has not been adopted or anything.
They'd be looking for the adoption of a plan designation as a developer, and then they might come forward with a plan under that new development.
Thank you.
Which would probably include this property as well as possibly others.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is, you know, of a different nature than what's actually this now.
Got it.
You're here for a straightforward...
We're simple and straightforward, just an easy one.
Yeah, I said that too.
We're a 16,000 square foot lot. It straddles River Street and South Street. So River Street to the north, South to the south. We're currently developing what was once a school building, 3.5 to 4 story building and an asphalt lot. Again, just looking to do a fully conforming 8-lot subdivision. No variance relief at all whatsoever, but we do have the waivers as we've discussed just before with Mr. Hoder. And as I said, this is typically considered of right or by right because there's little flexibility.
And as you've indicated, the lots themselves are fully conforming. There's no application for any structure building on any of the lots yet. It's proposed to be single family. You would stipulate that all structures and buildings would be fully conforming to the Seabright ordinances?
They would either conform or either us or some future owner would have to come for appropriate relief. Basically, we're not getting any relief tonight.
You're indicating the front yard setbacks on the building lot line to be what looks like about 5 feet setbacks from the curb, which is acceptable under the condition that you're able to prove that the adjoining lots. Are you asking for that to be approved at this point, or that will be addressed when the application for the house
is? So seated to my right is Mr. Mike Cannon, who I believe will tell you shortly that he's a licensed professional engineer and licensed professional land surveyor in the state of New Jersey, and I'll have him speak to that issue. It's a very good question. With that, I do have one witness. It's Mr. Cannon. Before we swear him, perhaps I could just pre-mark some exhibits to move things.
Okay.
We were up to A3.
Yes, we were.
The zoning permit application and denial dated January the 9th, 2019, as A4. The subdivision...
You want to mark the zoning application and denial?
Correct.
As...
A4, please.
That's the zoning permit. A4.
The subdivision application... dated January the 7th of 2019.
It's a major subdivision. I'm sorry, what was A5?
A5 is the subdivision application dated January the 7th of 2019.
January 7th, 2019.
A6 you may not have, but I will walk up a copy. It is the Monmouth County Planning Board's preliminary approval, and it's dated February the 11th, 2019.
That's A6.
And then, Ms. Higgins, can you clarify, was the topographic survey prepared by Mr. Cannon already part of what's been marked as A2?
I didn't, because I didn't see it, but let me just mark the plan. Maybe I just didn't take apart the plans enough. Unless it's part of this package.
The topographic survey is sheet 4444.
It's part of... It's in here?
Yes.
Okay, then it's part of A2.
So we do
have a copy of the Monmouth County Planning Board?
I do, yeah.
I see.
In that.
Courtesy as well. That's all I have for the time being. If you want to swear, Mr. Hoder, or Mr. Cannon.
Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir.
I'm here to swear, sir. I already marked the one mark as, sir. Can I take it back? It's not going back. No, I don't have it. Oh, yeah, three. At least in my copy? Yes. Yeah, yeah, no, I'm...
Cheers.
And I'm using that.
I'm trying to figure out why you need it, Monmouth County Planning Board approval, but it's not Monmouth County Refuge.
No, we went through that before, Dave, remember?
And you made a sign, you have a question.
Is it county approval? It's not necessarily unless it's all county approval.
Yeah, that's true. The county likes, still likes to see this stuff, just...
No, I knew that, I didn't want to...
That's not, Dave.
I believe I can cut, I think on the subdivision, maybe it's site plan, they know if it's not on a county road or impacting county drainage, so...
Okay. Do you solemnly swear to testify you're about to give us the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you state your name for the record and spell your last name?
Michael Cannon, C-A-N-N-O-N, Cannon Group B.C., Brooklyn, New Jersey.
Mr. Cannon, would you place your professional credentials on the record, please?
Certainly. I'm a licensed professional engineer, surveyor and planner in the state of New Jersey.
And Mr. Cannon has been before this board on multiple occasions. Without any objection from the board members, we'll accept your...
Thank you.
Mr. Cannon, are you familiar with the site that's proposed for the subdivision?
Yes, I am, and I've been out to the site.
Visited the site more than once?
Yes, several times, and I performed a topographic survey of the site.
And that's the survey that was marked as part of A2 then? Is it sheet four?
It would be sheet four, the plan set, yes.
And indeed, your office prepared all of what's been marked as A2, correct?
That is correct.
Would you locate for the board and describe the property that's the subject of this application?
Certainly. Property is block 15, lot 4, so it's copied on this 4 River Street.
Again, you just keep, you've got to speak up, because otherwise we can't hear you and nature can not change.
And it is located west of Ocean Avenue. Ocean Avenue would be to the right of the plan. It is situated between River Street to the north and South Street to the south. It is a 16,000 square foot lot. It has 120-foot of frontage along River Street and 100-foot of frontage along South Street. And there is a 20-foot jog in the middle. And it runs between the two streets for a distance of 145 feet.
Mr. Cannon, what zone within the borough of Seabright is it populated?
It's in the North 3 zone, downtown residential.
And would you describe the existing improvements on the site?
Certainly. As you can see on sheet 4, the topographic survey, it is a lot that is completely covered. There is a brick structure, the old school building, which is located on it. And there is a parking lot, paved parking lot, paved area all around the building. And a chain link fence is also missing.
Is there any open space on the site that's not covered with asphalt?
No, it's completely covered.
Any vegetation of any sort, flora or fauna?
No, there is not.
Any, aside from being in a flood zone, as is much of the borough, any sensitive environmental areas of which you're aware?
No, not any existing condition. It is all paved and developed.
And located on dedicated, accepted, and improved public streets?
Yes. River Street is a 40-foot wide right-of-way with 26-foot pavement between the curbs. And South Street is a 25-foot right-of-way with 19-foot pavement between the curbs.
And what is it that the applicant's proposing to do to the site?
What the applicant is proposing to do is subdivide this property into 8 fully conforming lots within the R3 zone. There will be 4 lots along River Street with frontage of 30 feet for each lot and a depth of 70 feet for each lot. And there will be 4 lots along South Street with 25-foot frontage for each lot and 75-foot depth for each lot. The lots along River Street will be approximately 2,100 square feet or 0.048 acres. And the lots along South Street will be 1,875 square feet, or 0.43 acres. One lot on River Street, lot 401, which is the most easterly lot, is currently 2,200 square feet, basically because of the jog in the property.
And is it your testimony that all the lots comply 100% with the prevailing bulk criteria for the R3 zone?
Yes, they comply with all the area requirements. With 8,100 square feet being the minimum lot area for the zone, all of our lots comply with that number. We show lot width required 25 feet, and we have the 25-foot frontage along South Street, and we have 30-foot frontages along River Street. We show lot depth of 60 feet required, and as I mentioned, 70-foot depth along River Street and 75-foot depth along South Street.
In terms of lot area, lot frontage, width, side setbacks, combined side setback, front setback, rear setback, compliant with all of those.
Yes, all the bulk requirements are met.
And you've located a proposed building envelope, or a typical building envelope for each of the proposed lots?
Yes, we do show setbacks for the properties, front setback of 5 feet, side setback of 3, minimum of 3, 6 feet combined, we show those setback lines, and a 15-foot rear yard setback.
And the vice chair previously had a very good question about a section of the ordinance that can modify the required front setback depending on average setbacks along the street. Were you able to observe or take any measurements as to average front setbacks impacting that condition?
Yes, I did. We surveyed the lot. The property is essentially enclosed by basically structures on the either side, the east and the west, and the front setbacks for those buildings were measured. And the average front setback for River Street is 1.5 feet, and the average front setback along South Street is 2.15 feet. So we are proposing a 5-foot front setback, which is the next.
And so did that comply both in terms of the general standard and the standard as altered based upon conditions along the streets?
That is correct.
My only question was that in the past that's been determined by our zoning officer. I don't know if that's something that's addressed. That this, the setback requirement for an R3 zone is 5 to 12 feet.
No, she's indicated that
this meets the requirement for the 5. But can we make that determination that it's...
What?
No, it has to be either between 5 and 12 unless they prove that the adjoining properties are similar, which he does. Can we approve that here, or is that done by the zoning officer?
No, you can say that it's a 5-foot setback based upon the average. The interesting thing here is that there's no building. I don't think we're really approving the building footprints because they're not... there's nothing here, so...
Typically, you might have a second bite at the apple if you later found out that what we're representing to you tonight based upon expert testimony is incorrect for some reason.
Right, I mean, we're not being asked to approve...
To approve the...
Right, so I would actually sign on that. I don't think Dave is not
going to... Well, during the plot plan crisis process, both I look at it or somebody... engineer and Mary Tangobas looks at it again. It's individual.
Okay, I'm just saying that it's presented on the plan right now. I think it meets the requirements of, but do we have the authority or do we approve it at this point now?
You have the authority to say that the average the testimony by the expert is that the average front setback on River is 1.5, I think, and average on South is 2.15. Is that the numbers? Accordingly, that would qualify for the minimum front yard setback at 5 feet. I'm just going to, I think we're our best step at this point is to not approve any setbacks because they're not, we're not asking the footprints to be approved, so. I think we would just let that go.
The footprints may be, again, sort of an example or typical.
The intent is
to show you can have a compliant lot with a compliant footprint that still allows you enough room to meet the minimum gross floor area for your first floor level.
Right.
So maybe it's best just to shift it to Mr. Cannon and say, based based upon this plan, is it your testimony that the lot is capable of being divided into eight lots, all of which would be fully conforming, all of which would have conforming building envelopes, and all of which would allow for the construction of a home that would meet the minimum requirements for gross floor area?
Yes, we are proposing conforming lots, and we are just trying to demonstrate that you can build a conforming structure on the plan with the setback.
Yeah, so I think that what's on the plan is just to show that not only are the lots themselves and area, et cetera, conforming, but that they could build conforming structures on those lots. However, when they actually design the homes, et cetera, these could vary. So you're not, I would say we don't want to technically say these are the setbacks that we're approving today, because that might not be what they're eventually or
I think that's a good guidance from Ms. Higgins.
Ultimately, the zoning ordinance controls.
If
somebody wants to build on one of these lots and they don't comply, they need a variance. If somebody wants to exceed the minimum and set it back further, good for them,
right?
If they can achieve all the other relevant standards.
Exactly.
Let's see.
So, may I ask a question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, of course.
So, is it your engineer's testimony that it says in the ordinance, it says, front setback shall be consistent with homes on the same side of the street on the same block. Applicant needs to provide setbacks from a surveyor shot from the street to arrive at this average. Has your engineer surveyor done that?
So what was the methodology for determining
the... It's not only conforms to the ordinance requirement.
Right.
Then actually it could probably be used later on as part of the plot plan process. If it hasn't been, then they got to do it for the correct.
We did survey the adjacent structures and we did determine what the front yard setbacks are for those structures, and they were listed on what the average is on the plan.
What sheet was that, sir, of Exhibit A2?
Sheet 1 is note number 12. The average front setback along
Brook
Street is 5 feet.
This
can't be got to be got. The average front setback along Brook Street is 1.5 feet. The average front setback along South Street is 2.15. As surveyed.
If requested, can you provide the data behind that?
Yes, sir.
That's good.
Okay. Good.
At some point, I'd like to shift to going over some of the concerns or notes in Mr. Hoder's review letter. I think before we do so, what might be helpful is to kind of take some of the conditions or data that would be typically included in an environmental impact statement and elicit some testimony specific to those things, so that the board can then consider whether they do or don't need that document. Perhaps if they're satisfied with the testimony, there's some other manner in which we could move forward with a conditional approval that satisfies all involved. So, you already testified that these lots are fronting on public streets. Are there any new streets proposed as part of this development?
No, we're not proposing any new streets. We are utilizing the existing pavements.
Are there, okay, are the buildings, are there homes in the area serviced by public utilities?
Yes, they are. There are public utilities in both River Street and South Street. The homes on either side of the street use those utilities similarly.
Would this plan entail the installation of any new utility mains?
No, we are not proposing any new utility mains.
Now, aside from the comments in Mr. Hoder's letter with regard to repairs and replacements of existing curbs and sidewalks, does this plan call for the creation of new curbs and sidewalks?
It does not call for it because we are not producing any, we are not showing any proposed development for the lot. I would anticipate that we would need to replace the curb and sidewalk along both River Street and South Street just for the curb cuts for the homes that are going to be built.
Ken, if the board insisted upon that as a condition of approval, would the applicant agree to replace the curbs and sidewalks in total? And this is why I ask, because if you get a subdivision here and someone comes in with a conforming house, that sidewalk never getting done.
Right.
Whereas this is the time where this board needs to needs to get that. They're asking for substantial relief as far as the amendments. It is a major subdivision. So this would be the time to ask. And I, for one, would really like to see that. A commitment from the applicant as a condition to replace all the sidewalks.
I've spoken to Mr. Frustacci, who's in the gallery behind me, and he would agree as a condition of approval that the developer do that. The only thing that we see occasionally is that folks get these subdivisions, they may or may not develop it themselves, they may sell spot lots, they may sell to another developer, or maybe they develop it. So the timing sometimes becomes critical.
Understood.
What I would suggest is, as a condition of issuance of COs for the individual lots, because at that point in time, you'll have your utilities installed, you'll have done curb cuts for the homes, so you're not doing the work to rip it up and do it again.
Absolutely. Okay. It would transfer over to whoever took over the property afterwards.
Okay. I think that's a reasonable condition. Mr. Cannon, are there any easements on the property of which you are aware?
No, there are not.
Okay. With regard to grading and drainage, which are two subjects talked about a little bit detailed in this review letter from Mr. Hoover. Can you describe the existing grading pattern on the property?
So, as stated, the entire property is paved with a four-story building located on it. And the grading is generally from the center of the lot, and it grades down to the streets, and that would be the typical development grading of the proposed lots on the property.
That's as
you have a high point in the rear of the lots, and they would grade down to the streets.
So as to both River Street and South
River Street and South Street.
So as to item number two on Mr. Hoder's letter, the grading shall be such that all stormwater will flow and run to the streets. That's
right. Yes.
Acceptable. And it might be easier if you just go one, two, and three, and on his requirements maybe, and
yeah,
we can just say.
We will probably hit most of them. I kind of wanted to organize it in terms of what an EIS might speak to on something like this, so that if we put in all the testimony and we say, really nothing to see here, I don't think the EIS would help. Maybe we spare you the second meeting on it or the resubmission.
The reason I brought it up is a large concern amongst our residents. We are all residents. Unless you have a way to deal with that tonight, I still feel the same.
Okay, proceed. Something will change. Okay, so one of the other items mentioned in Mr. Hoder's letter was some ability to allow for groundwater recharge from any future structures developed on the site. Is that
number one? Can you just refer to what one you're talking about? Keep track of what
that is. I believe it's page 3.
It's number 8.
8, okay. Thank you.
And that's on A3.
Yes, and as written in the letter, the applicant does not need to provide a reduction of stormwater flows. It should provide a method of recharge for on-site of the roof drainage. And we can note that on the plan. Again, we're not developing this site, but just based on coverage, what we're allowed, since this entire site is paved right now, anything we do will be an improvement. With the coverage, we can have lawn areas in the rear, and we can place dry wells or recharge systems in the rear to collect the roof runoff and recharge it back into the ground and not cause any additional runoff onto the neighbors or onto the streets.
Roof runoff from each individual structure?
Yeah, each slot will have its own dry well recharge system.
So can I say then that you will note the recharge method on the plans to the satisfaction of the board engineer? Would that be?
We can note that on the plans.
And Dave, that's acceptable to you?
Yes, thank you.
Go ahead, sorry.
You already testified that there's no natural features that are going to be disturbed because it's an asphalt lot. Is it your understanding that no existing structure on the site is designated as a National Historic Landmark or State Historic Landmark?
That is correct. I'm not aware of any historic designation.
I have a question.
while that is true, that is one of the most historical buildings in this borough at the moment. And while my decision would not be based upon the answer to the question I'm about to ask you, there is a plaque, a dedication plaque, to the school building, which is up in the upper levels. Would the applicant be willing to donate that to the town and secure it during the demolition process?
To the extent it's still there and intact, that's something.
Well, you have to take care when you're demolishing the building.
It's a vacant building. I don't know if somebody has, you know, trespassed and taken it.
Yeah, it's there.
If it's there, that's a
original. It's like 18-something or other. And it talks about the date the school was dedicated. It shows all the original trustees. It's a truly significant monument. And if they could come back to the town, that'd be great.
And the applicant is indicating that he would be willing to do so.
Thank you. That's very much appreciated.
Okay. These are improved streets, and by ordinance, they would be entitled to have public pickup for garbage. Is that correct?
That is correct.
You've shown that the sites can park adequately for single family under the RSI standards?
Yes, they will have garages underneath the structures on the ground floors, and we will provide 2 off-street parking spaces for each lot.
And the minimum requirement for each home will be 1.5, so we can see that?
Yes, 3 bedroom dwelling would be 2 parking spaces.
If approved, the applicant would apply for and obtain a freehold soil certification for land disturbance activities?
Yes, we will be disturbing more than 5,000 square feet, so it would require a freehold soil conservation district certification, and we will develop a plan for that.
The single family homes are permitted uses in the R3 zone?
That is correct.
The development with 8 single-family homes is less intense than the prior approvals granted by the Unified Board for multifamily development on the site?
Yes, they are. It's a less intensive use, and it deals with less coverage. So
prior approvals?
If you recall, how many units were previously approved by the board?
Are there approved units right now?
I can give you the resolutions that were approved.
I'm asking you simple questions. Are there approved units right now?
No. Probably the permit extension act has lapsed, and they are at this point no longer valid, though at one point in time the board will take notice. They approved the 13 units.
I just wanted it on the record for the board members so they understand.
What was the date of that approval?
Sure.
So the most recent?
I'll give you the date, and I can ask Mr. Cannon to confirm, because I think he may have been with the applicant at that point in time. The first resolution of approval, if I understand it correctly, is January 23rd, 2007. The second is May 8th of 2007. And then there was a subsequent denial more recently.
All right, so the last approval was 2007?
Yes.
Correct.
That was for 13 units in 2007?
Yeah, but it's lapsed.
So I know, it's lapsed, but it's a different universe. But I'm just curious.
Ms. Higgins, we're going to A7.
Yes.
This you also don't have in front of you. I'll hand a courtesy copy to you. Give one to Mr. Cannon as well. It's a little stale as well. We'll concede that it is a letter from the state of New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, dated April the 24th, 2006. It is a determination that a waterfront development permit's not required for the prior 13-unit development, that there are no mapped coastal wetlands on the site, and that CAFRA is not applicable to the site. We are not introducing it to say that we would avoid any application to CAFRA. We would still plan on applying and securing a jurisdictional determination, but just as a general indicator that in the past the site has been treated as, you know, not being subject to those things, I introduce it more from the standpoint of something that typically gets covered in an EIS. So I'll give you a copy, folks.
That's trash, no value. No, it is here, right? It's been altered.
And again, we note that Mr. Hoder's review letter on the last page does say that we will be required to secure either a CAFR approval or a letter of no interest. We fully agree with that. We will do the procedural requirements on it. Just for the record, Mr. Cannon, you're familiar with this letter?
Yes, we obtained this back in 2006 when we applied to the DEP, and the site was not considered under the review of coastal area facilities for the review act.
And likewise, no coastal wetlands determined at that point in time?
That is correct.
And no need for a waterfront development permit at that point in time?
That is correct.
And based on the facts presented to the DEP?
That is correct.
Okay, so just for the limited purpose of demonstrating that in the past, those things do not apply, we still make sure you get
it. It is a different town.
Yeah, many get that score in between.
I'm trying to say that.
Can I ask, just because I do this on, so I don't skip anything, you'll amend your plans to show the location of the existing water and sewer mains in the street?
Yes, we will.
Dave, is it a concern, should it be a concern of the board at this point in considering the subdivision, whether the sewer mains can handle additional houses? Is that something
Maybe I actually questioned the letter to the studies for those sewer mains back in 97, and the answer is no, it's not a concern.
In 97, it wasn't a concern?
Well, I mean, do we care? The reason we had the study is because of groundwater infiltration.
Right.
And we actually got money from state to do a lot of work, and we found out, of course, that there was a lot of inflow from the ground, and there probably still is, but a lot of work was done to stem the amount of flow into the groundwater flow into the sewers. Now, 97 to now, 20 years later, it could have reopened and some more flow could be coming back in again, but we were able to get a large amount of flow out at that time. Okay. I don't think anything's been done since. 8 units is not a lot of flow for any chain.
Would they be required by Northeast Regional for approval?
Yes.
For this subject?
Yes, they would. But they don't really care about treatment plant.
No, that's what we're asking.
Yeah, treatment plant capacity. So
the site plan's got to go to the, so if we approve the subdivision, we have to go to the sewage authority for
yes.
Approval.
Yes.
For there.
I guess what I'm saying though is that I believe that the aid sewer main from the street has the capacity.
Okay.
So.
Just before we jump to Mr. Hoder's letter and exhaust any concerns he may have, it's a relatively flat lot, no steep slopes or embankments.
There are no steep slopes, but it does have a high point in the middle, and as I mentioned before, it does slope towards the streets.
No, like coastal bluffs or anything like that. And then another thing that's addressed in Mr. Hoder's letter, we'll get out in front of it. If approved, would the applicant or any future owner of the lots intend to comply with the minimum BFE for the zone in which the lots are located?
Yes, certainly we would have to comply with the FEMA regulations, and the finished floors would be at or above.
You would get a building permit.
And for illustrative purposes, you've shown those finished floors at between 11 and 11 and a half feet.
That is correct, yes.
And based upon BFE of 8.
That is correct.
Well, we're, again.
We're just doing something.
And again, just so.
A lot of these are concerns in the engineer's letter. It's sort of an attempt to make sure that he knows that his concerns are being heard.
No, and I understand. I was just going to say that our approval is not going to have that because BFE could change by the time you go to build houses. I don't know that, but that's so. When the houses are going to be built, you're going to have to comply with whatever it is at the time.
Also an attempt to illustrate to you all that the impact of the proposed application is going to be negligible. So just kind of
gotcha.
Summarizing everything that you would otherwise
no, really say. That.
You're assuming that there'll be 8 individual houses?
That's the presumption. If somebody wanted to do otherwise, I suppose if it were permitted use, They might be able to do it upright. They might have to come back for a site plan approval for permitted use. If it was a non-permitted use, I suppose they might need any variance. But as
we've spoken about elevations of individual houses, you've spoken about
if it's developed,
parking spaces under individual houses. Yeah. So I just wanted to clarify.
If developed consistent with an 8-lot residential plan, those things would all be addressed according to the plot plan process. Perhaps best to address it to Mr. Hoover. Mr. Hoover, is there anything in your letter that he did not address to your satisfaction with Mr. Cannon's testimony?
Give me a second. There's really nothing in the letter except for the, you know, the item of the environmental impact statement. There are additional topics that would be included in an environmental impact statement that you haven't touched on tonight.
Is there any that come to mind that you'd like us to address while we're here?
If you can.
Okay.
Does this engineer know of any contamination previously on the property or in the building or in the ground or in the groundwater? Exists or previously existed and was remediated, as part of any work done on the property, whether it was building or demolition or paving or
prior to?
Yeah, at any time, really. I mean, does the applicant know when the building was built? I don't. Maybe the board knows.
It's
on the plot. It's 18 something. Late 18, was it 1800s?
Yeah. I don't think it's real late. I think it's
1890, something like that.
Not that late.
Okay.
It was 1875, somewhere.
Yeah, like the latest, the earliest it could be is 1870s.
When was the last time it was occupied?
I don't know. You have to ask the applicant that. I think it's probably when it was a school. I don't know.
No, it was occupied after it was a school.
Okay.
There was an art studio, there was a number of things in the building. There was any number of things that went on there. There was people living in it, there was people working in it. It was definitely the 60s.
60s?
Chairman, if they have development permits for those uses, sort of a squatter's thing.
One of the reasons for an EIS would be to provide information as to those types of things, whether there was a use in the building that may have caused contamination, whether it was an artist who used a certain type of paint that needed a lot of solids, or whether there was any kind of a previous spill on the property. That would be hopefully in the DEP database, oil tanks from heating. Any of the previous oil tanks that were there, how they were closed, what year they were closed, because that would give us an idea whether or not they were closed properly. If they were closed in the 50s, I would worry. If they were closed in the 90s, I wouldn't.
I just get a little concerned. I mean, is this typical of a planning board here in
the city? The reason is that you're doing residential, okay? And the standards for residential development with sites being clean or not clean is a lot higher than commercial. So if you were coming in with a commercial subdivision, you're gonna put stores here, I'd be much less concerned. But we have people that are gonna be here, they're gonna live here, hopefully the rest of their life.
Just wondering if we're encroaching at all on the jurisdiction of the NJDEP or the construction officials locally when it comes to issuance of things like demolition permits. The concern really ends up being taking down the building and what would be the impact during construction, so that if we go through the permitting process.
Well, that would only be one item in the EIS. I mean, that's something to be dealt with proper construction methods. You know, keeping the water, keeping the site water, keeping the dust down and all that stuff. But I guess I'm more concerned with what has gone on in the past. And you know, whoever the environmental person that does this would first look at if there was a phase one done, if there was a phase two done because of maybe contamination found in the phase one. that type of thing. And when, you know, when the applicant bought the property, that could have been disclosed, or maybe it wasn't disclosed. I see it as the last chance this board has, this town has, mm-hmm. To know that the property is clean, so that we have people that are happily going to move in.
And
put it that way.
I guess I should do a couple of things. Number one, is there any knowledge by the board or its professionals that the property is anything other than clean?
No, no, I don't know.
We have a tenant. I don't think anybody that supports it in the building.
When a typical application comes before the board, this is a little bit beyond the scope of a board's review jurisdiction. Typically, when you sell a home or any structure, the buyer is going to be doing due diligence as to whether what they're buying conforms to the applicable standards.
This is a coastal town, and we have very, very environmentally active members of the town, and they're concerned. I've gotten feedback. I'm going along with it. I'm concerned.
I mean,
what I would say to you is this. I want nothing more than when somebody comes in within our zoning plan. There is nothing better than that. That's why we have a zoning plan. I don't disagree that you're doing something wrong here. I'm not saying there's something wrong with your plan. It's a simple environmental study. Do you have a problem doing it? Do you know anything?
I am not aware of anything.
Well, then we should all be in agreement. We can carry this application until we get the plan and reconsider.
I'm wondering if there's any way in which the board could move it for approval, given that it's an upright subdivision with no variances, subject to a reasonable condition that further documentation be supplied.
And you're going to talk to that, not just me.
I might
say my answer is no.
My answer is no. My answer is no as well. It's part of the ordinance calls for it, and the MD is recommending it with the tax.
Agreed. I don't know.
No, put that away. Absolutely not. It's a fiduciary. It just feels like fiduciary. It's fiduciary. It has been. There's nothing about the property that has been proactively addressed in the past, and that's all I'll say. This is a proactive move. That's in. It's in concert in my mind with the application we have, which is a very, very seemingly well-engineered, well-planned subdivision. But the one piece of it that, in my personal estimation, needs some attention is this one. So that's just my opinion.
So is it the board's position that they would not put this to a vote absent the provision of an EIS?
That's my position.
My position.
Board, everybody, that's 1-2, Steve said 3, Dave said 4.
Elizabeth
also agreed. It seems like that is their position.
Happy to carry it.
And again, we haven't opened the public hearing, but it is a major subdivision no matter what. It is a requirement under the ordinance. There are, even though it's an upright, and just so the public understands that, I know the board does, but when they say it's an upright subdivision, it means that there's really no basis to deny it because it's fully conforming. However, there are certain requirements under the ordinance that a major subdivision meets, one of which is to supply an EIS. There are also site improvements that are required, which they've agreed to. I'm just going to run through what we've discussed, that there's no structures proposed and the board is not taking any position as to any setbacks, et cetera, that'll leave that for that. The applicant has stipulated, pursuant to the engineer's letter, that they would replace the curbs and sidewalks on River and South as a condition of the issuance of the COs for the individual lots, that the plans will reflect the recharge method to the satisfaction of the board engineer for each lot. The applicant will preserve the dedication plaque on the school and give it to them to the extent that they can during the demolition process. They'll meet all parking requirements. The plans will be revised to show existing water and sewer mains in the street. I think it was also, I missed, Item number two on Mr. Hoger's letter, that the grading will be such that our all stormwater flows to the streets, and that number one, that they agreed that the lots will be graded by a plan, that's not easy to say, review, plot points at the rear, et cetera, which what is number one says, that they agreed to that. And so accordingly, I think with everything that has been discussed, they certainly would be entitled to an approval subject to the environmental impact statement, which the board has indicated they did not wish to waive at this point. And I should also note that the discussion at the beginning was that there were other waivers that were requested.
But neither of them were going to waive.
And that, right, that...
So this isn't even done to us
right
now, this time.
That the board has agreed to waive all the other waivers that they have requested, which include the boundary of the wooded areas, existing utilities, existing structures, on-site drainage, off-site drainage, center profiles on adjacent streets, exterior lighting, landscaping, and screening. So they're waiving everything else other than the EIS, which they would like to see prior to taking the vote.
And Karen, did you get the solution file in there?
It would be subject to the approval, which I put in most of the Freedom Soil, Monmouth County Planning Board, Coast CAFRA, Seabright Fire Department, floodplain official, and the sewerage authority.
Do you have anything further before we open it to the public?
I have no further questions of this witness. I just wanted to make sure that the board didn't have any other concerns with the application aside from the EIS. Any other concerns at all about the application? I had teased the idea earlier on in the evening that there was essentially somebody who has proposed to develop this site. That person is not in the room, that entity is not in the room, that plan is not before the board this evening, but it is going to be the subject of a town hall meeting shortly. I think it's April the 16th, if I'm not mistaken. And there is some thought that in the future that person might be proposing a redevelopment ordinance. My concern with pushing a vote on an application for an outright subdivision, which under the statute and under the case law, the Supreme Court case of Pisa-Montan, essentially cannot be denied, is that we will later find that the board is deprived of jurisdiction because of further developments with regard to the redevelopment plan.
So the board understands, what he's worried about is that this redevelopment, on the redevelopment track, that will move forward, and some redeveloper will come in and, you know, for the proposed plan, which would then be approved, and that would take jurisdiction out of this board because that would be under the redevelopment process. However, you've indicated, I know nothing about what's going on that end of it, but you've indicated that the redevelopment plan has not been presented, and I think you know the redevelopment process that would have to be presented. There would have to be a public hearing on the plan itself. Is that what's going on?
As far as I'm aware, the party...
I think you're complicating what's before us.
It's important to my client because if
I'm sure it is, but what's important to this board is the law and what's before us. We have requirements, what's supposed to be before us, and we don't have it. And we ask for it. I think we need to stick to what's before us.
I mean, Mr. Anderson, you could have submitted all this stuff and not
actually.
You made the choice.
So we did ask for waivers. We requested a waiver in light of the fact that this is a fully developed site on a public street with all of the other things that we discussed about existing utilities, no flora and fauna, no endangered species, essentially nothing that needs to be discussed, nothing that needs to be presented in order for the board to properly hear and decide.
Has the applicant paid any attention to what's going on at Seabright since 2012? I ask that as a very sincere question, because if you would have been paying attention to Seabright since 2012, we would realize that asking for an environmental impact statement in the borough of Seabright since 2012 is not an insane request.
We're on a residential application, not a commercial application, and one which conforms in all regards with the bulk criteria.
But nevertheless, you're in a very, very environmentally sensitive area. We want to see an environmental impact statement. It's not, it should have just been submitted.
Why don't we go ahead and open it to the public? Is there anyone in the public that has a question about the testimony or a statement about the application? Yes, please.
I missed you guys. I'm Janet Sanders. I live at 12 Center Street in Seabright. So I just want to make sure that I understand the site. First off, when are these? From where are these plans? Where did you get these plans?
He drew them.
We produced these.
No, did you get them, or were they from an architect?
That you showed me from the architect.
So this is just, where did you get these plans?
He's an engineer.
And you prepared that?
Yeah.
Okay, when were they done originally? What year were they done originally?
12/7/18 is the date of plans.
Why do you think in this time that you would need to subdivide this lot into 8 spots?
Objection.
Yeah, you can't object. I'm a citizen. I'm allowed to ask questions.
Well, he can object.
why do you feel like you want to divide it into 8 lots now? What's
objection,
the reason?
Yeah.
Well, it's some forever.
Okay.
We can wait. The owner has not been sworn in, so he can't. This is the engineer. I don't think it's not his decision to do it. He just drew plans. So
you can make a statement. You can ask a question about what they testified to.
Okay. So was I'm sorry.
I don't think he asked why they wanted to do it.
So was there a dry cleaner originally on this property that you're looking to subdivide?
No.
School. It was the school.
So maybe I ought to handle that one because I think you may be referring to an adjacent lot.
Okay.
There was a dry cleaner on Ocean Avenue in the immediate vicinity. That is not part of the property my client owns.
Okay. And
it is part of that area in need of redevelopment that we talked about.
Right.
But we don't own it. It's not part of this plan.
Okay. Thank you. My next question is, so you said that it's completely covered in asphalt. Is that correct? But you're not sure what's under the asphalt. So if you rip it up and we have a flood, is why I'm asking. If anyone were to rezone it and then rip it up, which is, you don't know what's under the asphalt.
You got a water report.
Wait, you missed your question. You can't answer.
So environmentally, you're not sure what's going on under the asphalt or?
Are you suggesting others?
I'm asking you.
Wait,
give me 1 second.
That would perform that.
There were soil tests?
Yes, medium coarse sand.
Do you have the results of them? Did you know?
We'll mark them.
They were done for another project on this piece of property.
But you don't have them here now tonight?
I actually do have them.
Do you have them? Let's mark them.
Subsurface soil investigation for River Street, Seabright, New Jersey, and it was prepared by.
I understand that to me because I didn't write that.
Is this your only copy?
Can
Ms. Mitchell, if we give you our only copy, can we come down to you and get a photocopy of it? Or trade you a photocopy?
It's probably in the old file. John, can you
continue with what it is? It was prepared. Prepared by AMS Consultants, Inc., May 5th, 2006.
I missed the whole beginning, so,
right,
so maybe if you could just hand it to me, it would be easier.
Sure. I'll hand it to you. I'll mark it as A first. And you're looking at the second page for your data.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Hang on. That's why I need to hire the things. Okay, it is a subsurface soil investigation prepared by ANS Consultants. and it's May 5th, 2006.
2006?
Yes. Well, the soils don't, I mean...
I just don't know how long it takes for something to leak into the soil that when it gets ripped up, you know, I mean, I just...
Well, I think your question is apples and oranges, so I think you're on the same track here.
Okay.
So...
Yes. My next question is...
You're asking them, but the question was, you don't know what the soil is like underneath, and then here's the soil report. That's not an environmental study.
No. Oh, I understand. Yeah, but it's just what the soil consists of, not the environment.
Correct.
Yes.
Right.
And that's also from 2006 anyways?
Correct.
Okay. My next question is, if you do split this up into eight, what would be the flood impact from building eight houses where there's now a flat piece of surface land?
I guess I'll object, since you're not being asked to approve any particular homes at this point. It would presumably vary depending on the type of home.
But what we're asking for,
hang on, stop.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Okay, I think the question is proper if they could say, because I can get it actually going to be less than a bit, but right now the lot is completely 100% coverage. You're breaking it up into eight lots.
Eight conforming lots, and per the zoning requirements, coverage, building coverage is only 50%, and maximum lot coverage is 70%. So we will be adding 30% pervious surface to the property, which will absorb.
So you'll be reducing the impervious impact on this property.
So adding pervious, which means reducing impervious?
Correct.
So you don't know what the flood impact would be. There's no flood impact study that would show what the water travels through in channels between eight houses rather than dispersing on one flat lot would be, correct?
We are going to put a note on the plans that the roof runoff will be put in.
Not the roof runoff, but the flood out, which occurs, is he right?
Well, there will be a flood because the roof runoff will go into the ground and the impervious surface will absorb.
Right.
She's not talking about roof runoff. She's talking about flooding coming up from the river, which if it ever gets to the roof, we have some other problems to talk about.
So we're talking
about flooding coming up from the river, and that's what she's asking here. I'm not answering her question, but that's what she's asking here.
Thank you.
Well, it sounds like she wants an environmental study too.
And I also like to know that
they have done a study.
I mean, regardless, as a statement, not a question.
Are you going to say that you saw the square test when you're about to give us truth, all truth, and nothing?
Yes.
That's the truth.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know what the timeline is here, but I think that time and time again, this has been, if I saw a hazard, a complete hazard, these properties have been a hazard and a real problem in the middle of town. And I think that quite a few chances have been given that if, you know, it seems very nice on paper that you have brought this forward and are asking for this, but I don't understand what the timeline is going to be. And do you have a timeline for...
Well, in order to perfect the subdivision, which there is statutory time limits on that, they have to remove the building and that are on because they cannot perfect the subdivision without that.
So what is the timeline for the removal of the building? That you're
I can't say because the board's not even going to decide the application this evening.
What is the adoption of the resolution? What's the timeline? I never remember. Is that 195 days or something like that?
I don't think that it's even something we should be talking about because you're going to condition your approval on further applications.
So you're answering her question with you can't answer that right now.
Depends on the timing of the regulatory agencies, which is beyond our ability to control.
Fair enough.
Great, thank you very much. Thank you, guys.
Just as a cleanup point, there was some question about the stormwater. And Mr. Hoder, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I'm reading from your letter, which was marked in this evening as A3, page 3, section, bullet point 7, where you say that this can't be, section 8, cannot be considered a major development, and that we're not disturbing more than 1 acre, because we're only 16,000 square feet, and we do not need to provide a reduction in stormwater flow, is that correct?
That's correct, under both the rules of here in Seabright and in the state, which are the rules that we adopted back in the 2000s, we can't ask you for a reduction, we can't ask for a detention basin, we can't ask for underground detention, I see from your testimony that actually 30% of the flows will be reduced by 30% because it has to be by ordinance, which will help a little bit in that area, but that would help during major floods. It only helped during small storms.
And that's again presuming we maxed out lot coverage on every single lot at 70%. Somebody could come in and propose to do much less lot coverage if that was there.
It's not happening very much though.
Is there anyone else in the public that had a question or statement about the application? If not, the public portion is closed. I would suggest that we move forward, come up with another date. We do have a couple of dates available. How long do you think a study would take?
It's not going to be within 30 days. I think we would need more time than that. That'd be 60 to one to get an environmentalist out there to do the studies. I get your concern also about contamination. Is that?
I think it's everything.
Phase one basically deals with interviews and going through records, and I think that may take some time to develop a report of that nature. So,
end of June?
Excuse me?
End of June?
I think we ought to just take the first available date, see if we can get on our horse and ride.
2 weeks from
May 14th. There's two available in June.
May 28th is available. May 4th.
State May 14th, then we'll be in correspondence with the board secretary, and if we're having trouble producing it in time, we'll make the request that it be carried.
We'll carry.
We just did a new master plan, so all that historic information is current. We'll be that part of the research.
So just to be clear, we're talking about submission of an EIS in conformity with the prevailing requirements for an EIS.
Yes.
Mr. Noda, that's correct?
That's correct. I respectfully ask that whoever's preparing it give me a call.
For that consideration.
So that we don't have a long review letter of the EIS that's just done and finished.
So let the record show that this application will be carried to the May 14th meeting with no further
notice
required.
All right.
Wait. No other business before the board members? Yes, sir. Please state your name for the record.
Patty Angel, 7 East Church Street. I have a question about this particular my question is about the master plan. Mm-hmm. So, 2 years ago, there was a application of the East Church and East New Street residents.
A petition.
A petition to asking to have those two streets change from a business zone to a residential zone. And I've been coming to the council for 2 years to asking when this is going to happen. The council actually agreed that that should be done. And it wasn't. And I'm just wondering why. There's 22 lots on those two streets, and 20 of them are residents and only two are businesses. So I just want to know why we can change that to a residential.
Where is this? On East?
East Church.
We did do it.
What we did, if I recall correctly, was there were objections because there were still businesses in that zone, and we counted, there's more than two. Because I remember you actually did a survey with us, and there are more than two businesses, and what the board ultimately decided is they wanted to make the residences permitted uses in the zone, which we did.
Right.
But we didn't invalidate the businesses, if that's my recollection.
I thought we had something to do.
The reason they wanted to change our...
Did we carve it out? Did we carve it out two blocks?
We made anything not fronting on Ocean Avenue back.
Correct.
We made residences permitted.
I thought we carved out a little area.
So those are red, so you don't have to come before the board.
For you, sorry.
So they actually did do it.
They did what? But he's saying he doesn't want businesses to be approved.
They're closed, but not done. I mean, I have a master plan, it still shows...
Well, anything that's currently a residence, you're not coming before the board because it's a business zone.
Right, but we're trying to, the residents want to have that very mission.
Yeah, it's right. The concern about is that businesses are still going to be permitted in the zone, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, I mean, another area that are residential zones that businesses are on. So I understand why we can do this to this
situation. Is it our three?
We did it last year. We did something. I mean, I don't remember.
I can't remember what I had to be from. See, he's got it.
It's not. It's still
on that two block area made it residential on the
other. Only in that proposed. It's not.
I think it was adopted.
It was not according to the master plan.
Master plan is adopted.
It's not according to the map of the master plan.
Yeah. Maybe that.
If you look at the master plan.
That might not be the current one then.
No, it's the current one.
Maybe the map wasn't updated.
Maybe. Under the current master plan, I think what you're saying is reality.
So what you're saying is that those two streets are residential and are free?
I don't remember exactly what it says, and you have in front of you.
Right, well, it actually says it proposes an R3, but it...
Right, because the master plan proposes it to be an R3. It's adopted as a master plan. The master plan...
Well, you might have to put the proper page in, but it was adopted.
Okay,
so the proper page is still there. The master plan is a proposal. But you have to meet the master plan.
So make it those two streets right now are residential zones.
They're proposing the master plan to be residential zones.
But if the master plan was voted on, is it final?
The master plan is fine, yes.
Yeah, so what you were saying, Mark, is you don't redo the map and have it just set as an R3, it still says it's been adopted.
The master plan has been adopted. The master plan map is the final map.
You should go back. It doesn't say proposed after it's adopted.
No, because all the master plan is a big proposal.
It's not in work. It's not that it's done.
Right.
Okay.
So now, if there's an empty lot on those two streets and they come in front of the planning board, you treat them as a business?
No, residential.
So you don't have to go for a variance to build a resident.
You still wouldn't. The council's in the process of doing the ordinances, which have not been done yet, and that's scheduled for some time before the summer we'll get that done.
And at that point, then?
That's correct.
Okay.
So we're working on that.
Well, what you're asking also, then you make the few businesses there non-conforming. That's a big issue to that.
No, I think we left the ones that were fronting Ocean Avenue commercial.
Yes, we did.
There's two behind it. On East Church.
I don't know. This
two years ago.
I did this a year ago.
Yeah, but being on the road, like I said, there are businesses in other residential zones. There's restaurants actually in residential zones. So, I don't see the problem with two businesses on those two streets having a problem with it. It's not going to change it. Change them.
Good.
The odds are any residential growing up in one of those zones, is even after the ordinance are adopted, we're still going to have to come here for a variance. Mm-hmm.
Just because
like you get across the street, it's all R3, almost every single house, anytime anything needs to be done, they have to come here for a variance.
Right.
So you're not getting away from coming here for a variance.
That was the reason we changed a lot of the downtown.
Right.
That's why the school is 25 feet.
Right.
it's not only businesses, it's even homes that went up on those lots. When full coverage from, you know, one side to the other, went up 42 feet.
Well, that was approved before we adopted the new master plan, I think.
Yeah,
that application came before us several years ago.
Right.
My point is that they're still going to have to come here for a variance. Mm-hmm. You said they won't need a variance. They're going to need a variance. For instance, you know, Kevin's house, because he's sitting here, I'm going to point it out, he wanted to put a deck on the back of his house.
Right.
He's a fully conforming, he's in a residential zone, he had to come here for a variance.
Right, but they'll need a variance for a use change from a business to a residential.
Yeah, but they're still here. So.
It's a
Did you have a question?
No, I was just wondering if there's a chance that maybe a master plan that's up on the website is outdated.
It's not.
It was the most recent.
We have the most recent master plan on the website.
Because I think the website is outdated. Well, I think what was pulled down was the master plan and then the proposal, and then the proposal
was outdated. That's what I was going
to change.
No, he asked, is it outdated? And you said, yes, it is.
No.
The one on the website is the correct master plan.
Yes, that's what I was
checking. That's the one that was approved.
Yeah.
Because make sure that the one which I understand.
You have to sign the master plan. He just doesn't understand.
Because he said that.
Yes.
So is there anyone else in the... Oh, sorry. Anyone else in the public that would like to be heard this evening?
He's not here, so...
If not, there's public portions now closed. Are any other business before the board? Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Thank you.